According to our sacred scriptures, we're in the most sacred part of the spiritual and material creation, Sri Vrindavan Dham. In Sri Brahma Samhita, there's a nice description of the hierarchy of realms in the material and the spiritual creation. Goloka namni nijadamni tale chatasya. In that verse, we can think of this created cosmos, the lower planetary regions, we certainly would like to avoid the hellish planets of material existence. Above that, there's the middle planetary region, of which the Earth planet, in which the Earth planet is situated. And from this earthly realm, there are some, the numbers are diminishing, who aspire to go to the heavenly realm above this earthly realm. Religions of this world are focused on attaining that heavenly realm, Svargaloka. But according to our Vedic teaching, above Svargaloka are planets of highly elevated, more elevated than heaven, the highly elevated personalities who are situated in Maharaloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka. The Grihasthas, who are absorbed in the performance of sacrifice. And their performance of sacrifice, not just in a ritualistic way, but aspiring to directly experience the presence of the Personality of Godhead who is receiving their offerings. They actually see the Lord in Maharaloka as they're offering oblations into the fire. He comes before them with extended hands to receive their offerings. And as long as it is being performed, the Lord stands there to receive each and every item and article that's being offered. And then he recedes back within the fire until the next yajna, and then he comes again. And in Tapaloka, the renunciates, those who are lifelong celibates, who are absorbed in great happiness in seeing the Lord in their trance of meditation, not just like a yoga class on Fifth Avenue, where you add a little meditation. These are perfected souls and see the Lord uninterruptedly for days at a time. Above that realm of Tapaloka is Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, where Lord Brahma resides. When I was a young brahmachari, one of the temple presidents that I served under was Rupanuga Prabhu. And Rupanuga wrote a letter to he was very good at writing very insightful questions. Prabhupada liked his letters and he would reply in detail to his letters. So one letter he wrote, "For one who becomes a perfected Christian, what is their destination in their next life?" Prabhupada's reply, it's very difficult to find such a person. But were there such a person, they would attain to Brahmaloka. Where, for a long duration, they would have the opportunity to further perfect their lives in devotion, and then after that lifetime, return to the spiritual world. So far beyond Brahmaloka, the coverings of the universe, we say it very glibly that each of the seven layers is 10 times the dimension of the previous layer. One of our devotee scientists, Sadaputta, who was a PhD in mathematics, did a little mathematical calculation. And the calculation was that if the inside of the universe was like a visible steel ball, like a ball bearing of a few centimeters in diameter, the layers of the universe would go out for 10 and 20 miles. That's how big the layers of the universe are. Big. And beyond the layers of the universe is the vast, unlimited spiritual sky. And there are those that aspire for the spiritual sky to become relieved of the difficulties of life in this realm of duality. They want neutrality, shanti, peace, being merged with the vast Brahmajyoti. And within that vast Brahmajyoti, there are spiritual realms, spiritual plants, Haridam, mentioned in Sri Brahma Samhita, the realm of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. And above Haridam, there are those that aspire for Ayodhya Dham, those that want to eternally associate with Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya, in his very charming, loving pastimes and exchanges with all of his devotees. And above that Ayodhya Dham is Goloka Dham, the topmost planet in the spiritual sky. And in that Goloka Dham, there are also divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. Krishna manifests his majesty in Dwarka Dham. And in Mathura Dham, there's further intimacy in his dealings with his devotees. But here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the greatest of all intimacy and sweet loving exchanges is found. There is no higher realm than Goloka. And that Goloka has as its spiritual identical counterpart, Gokula. And here in Gokula, we've come to the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. There's a reason we've come here first, and that's to begin our visit to the Sri Vrindavan Dham, hoping and praying and intensely begging Srimati Radharani for her very special mercy. And I'll share something. It's on topic, but it's a little over here. I'm thinking this will be a very special yatra, and here's a little hint as to why I'm thinking that. Before coming to Vrindavan, I was moving about in India And I was on a flight that took me from one part of India to Delhi. And when I got off the plane in Delhi, it was one of those situations where the plane parked on the runway and they brought the little buses and everybody gets on the bus to take you to the terminal where your bag are. It wasn't one that pulled right up to the gate because it was a smaller plane. And when we got on the bus, it was one of those buses that you know here in India. There's a wall that separates where the driver sits and where the passengers sit. And sometimes there's a picture. Sometimes it's a scene of the local area. Sometimes it's something devotional. Sometimes it's so many different things. There was a painting that I would really like to get a copy of. But it was a painting of... Immediately when I saw it, I said, that's Ravel. That's the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. The painting, the artist was painting the painting from that direction down there where the river flowed along the side of a... It wasn't a palace, but it wasn't a cottage either. It was a very sweet, beautiful, simple yet elegant residence raised up a little bit on a bank with trees surrounding. I was thinking, where in North India is there such a scene? If it was Bengal, maybe something by the side of the Ganga. But why would they put that inside a bus at the Delhi airport? Except Srimati Radharani to greet us. Please come to my abode. It is such a nice place. So I thought, this is very auspicious. And on the car ride coming here, our first stop, I was seeing that image and anticipating coming to Radharani's birthplace. To make an appeal to Srimati Radharani to provide us entrance into this very mysterious sacred realm of Sri Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Dham, where all the rasas in their fullness in Vrindavan are all permeated by Madhurya Rasa. All of the residents of Vrindavan, it's the nature of Vrindavan, they want, whether they're a friend of Krishna, servant of Krishna, the parent of Krishna, the in-law of Krishna, whatever it is, their position is, they want to enhance the loving dealing between Radha and Krishna. This is the teaching that we receive from our disciplic line. So we've come to Radharani's birthplace to offer her our glorification and our prayers. Our first prayer is in relation to our practice of devotional service. Our practice of devotional service is built around hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. And we'll be doing lots of both hearing and chanting about Krishna and his eternal associates and his loving exchanges with them. So if we receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani, then our hearing will allow those same vibrations to enter not only within the ear, but deep within the heart, and that our hearts can become transformed. Oh, say the same thing a little differently. We've all come from our worldly life. There's some ranging from little children to school-age children to young adults doing their education and higher education and newly married. And in each of the stages of life, we all have our involvements in the place where we live, the material realm. Why have we come to Vrindavan? Why do we go on pilgrimage? To leave that behind us, I'm certainly very enthusiastic to take this break from the important service that Krishna has given, but go more deeply in your association, in the very same activities that we do every day, hearing and chanting, but enriched by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Because after all, what is our goal? Why are we engaging ourselves in devotional service? There are persons here also who are at different stages of their devotional service. Some are literally just beginning. Some are years and years and years together, have been practicing, and all ranges and stages in between. But whatever the trajectory it is in our spiritual life that we find ourselves, what is it that in our heart of hearts we want? We want to be in our loving relationship with Krishna and tangibly, palpably feeling that. We need mercy. And this is the very essence of Srimati Radharani, is compassion and mercy. Her compassion and mercy, like Krishna's compassion and mercy, can be inconceivably radical and extreme. In Braj, there's a very nice place where the following pastime involving Srimati Radharani takes place. It's a pastime of Radharani with a jackal. I've only seen a jackal once. At first I thought it was like a dog that got beat up because his bodily hairs were all askew and he looked gnarled and, a street dog that got in a lot of street fights, but it wasn't a street dog, it was a jackal. He was very ugly just to look at, like a little fearful just to look at. And then in Mayapur, I had the opportunity to hear jackals. Because at night, those of you that have been to Mayapur and have heard this sound, it's this really eerie sound when, in the cities the dogs bark, and you know what that sound is. One woof woof, and then another one's woof woof woof, and then it's a whole chorus of woof woof woof. And, that dog sound. But the jackal sound is different. It's a cross between a child crying and a person being tortured. Howling. And apparently in Mayapur there's a whole bunch of jackals that don't show themselves during the day, but at night they have a jackal concert. And it would be very good background music for a spooky movie, a horror movie. Ooh, it sounds really eerie. Even the dogs don't like to hear it. And jackals are not favored by anybody. That same place where I saw the jackal, I also saw a fox. And foxes, they're appreciated, they're clever. You can say it's clever like a fox, or majestic like a lion, or wise like an owl. But whoever spoke of a jackal in any favorable way, so in Braja, the cowherd boys found a jackal. And they got sticks and stones, and they were throwing from all directions at the jackal, sticks and stones, and hitting the jackal, and he was howling in pain and trying to run and get away. And finally he sneaked through the circle of cowherd boys, and he ran and he ran. The cowherd boys ran and ran and ran after him, and he ran down a hole. And so the cowherd boys blocked the hole and built a fire. And the fire was raging. And the jackal was howling, screaming in pain. It was such a loud noise that Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends heard that howling sound. So they followed the sound to find out what was the problem. When they came, they saw a bunch of young boys surrounding a hole with a big fire and a sound coming from inside. And the children explained to Radharani what happened. And they were chasing and getting back at this jackal for all of his mischievous activity. So Radharani stopped them, told the gopis, "Stop the fire. Remove the fire. Release the jackal." And the fire was released. The jackal was afraid to come out of the hole because something might bad happen again. He came out of the hole and he was crying to be relieved from that torturing condition. Radharani was seated on a little rock, a raised platform rock, and the jackal slowly came over to Radharani's feet and tears in his eyes, was crying in appreciation for the mercy that she had extended to relieve him from that torturous situation. Radharani placed the jackal on her lap. Now, we don't pet animals. These sattvic Vaishnavas are careful about that kind of thing. And a jackal. But Radharani placed the jackal on her lap and blessed the jackal that you should, after this life, come to my abode in the spiritual realm and become one of my eternal associates. She invested Krishna Prema in this jackal. So, who are we? In this material world, not very high. In one sense, in the material world, everyone is somewhat jackal-like. Not so elevated and not so noble and not so majestic and not so wise and not necessarily intentionally, but even unintentionally, giving difficulty or inconvenience or some trouble to others. Even our intention is otherwise. It just happens. So we've come to the birthplace of Srimati Radharani to appeal to her for her mercy, her compassion. And the compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani can't be compared to anything of this world because it's not of anything of this world. Srila Prabhupada taught us this way, that if you want to please Krishna, then, and you have something that you'd like to offer to Krishna, let's say your life, you'd like to offer your life to Krishna, or something, some part of your life, or some article, or some gesture of offering to Krishna. Who are any one of us to make some offering directly to Krishna? But, Prabhupada's teaching is if Srimati Radharani, who is the personification of compassion, sees that here's a sincere desire to make some offering to Krishna. If she accepts that offering and makes the recommendation to Krishna to please accept, Krishna accepts. And that's the nature of devotional service. Radharani is in charge of devotional service. Radharani is in charge of us, or whatever devotional service we may render. And it's her compassionate nature that, as unqualified as we may be, if she accepts our offering of service, Krishna accepts the offering of service. And the core or fundamental part of our devotional service is our hearing and chanting every day. Whatever else may happen, every day there's hearing and chanting activity. And during our yatra, it's more, not only chanting of our rounds in the morning, but days worth of hearing and chanting. So let us leave behind the worldly thoughts. It may take a little time to wind all of that down and to enter into the deeper mood of what we want our lives to be. Absorbed, immersed in our loving relationship with Krishna, loving exchanges with Krishna. Through the process of hearing and chanting, especially here in the Holy Dham, that's why we've come. May Srimati Radharani bless our little effort and give her mercy so that we can go more deeply in our day-to-day practices of hearing and chanting. And this same principle applies to each of the places that we visit sequentially in our yatra. Something that will also help our visit to the Holy Dham is the mood of service. The mood of prayer nurtures the mood of service. And the mood of service is, we'll have so many opportunities, little opportunities for serving one another. Many of us don't know so many people who are here because individuals have come from so many different parts of the world. And that's nice. There's an opportunity to serve because these are persons who are all wanting to come closer to Krishna and know that that's in the hearts of such persons, and such persons are dear to Krishna. So we have the opportunity to serve them. And if we maintain this mood of service, guaranteed, Krishna will provide you opportunities to serve. And if you take up those opportunities to serve in that mood, here in the Holy Dham, something will connect, something will resonate in receiving the mercy that we've come here to bring into our hearts. So maintain carefully this mood of service. Nurture it in the course of the yatra. The appearance pastime of Srimati Radharani that takes place here is variegated and very wonderful. Our understanding should be, first of all, that Srimati Radharani is eternally present in her abode. This is her abode. The the enactment of a lila is simply that. It's an opportunity for Radharani to please the residents of Braja in a particular way, in her very tiny childhood pastime. The mother and father of Radharani are Rishabhanu and Kirtida. Rishabhanu and Kirtida, in their previous lifetime, were also husband and wife, Duchandra and Kalavati. Suchandra and Kalavati were pure devotees of the Lord, and they had a very unique desire. We often hear that these perfected souls in Vatsalya Rasa, they desire to have a son like the Lord, or have the Lord as their son. In this case, they desire to have as their daughter the goddess of fortune. Now, who's qualified to have the goddess of fortune as your daughter? It's one thing to worship the goddess of fortune for something, for fortune. Their wish was to have the goddess of fortune as their child that they could care for in parental affection. So for tens of thousands of years, they underwent intense devotional practice, specifically focused upon that intention. It's kind of like the opposite of Hiranyakashipu. He went severe austerities, but for a very different reason. So Lord Brahma appeared before them and asked, "What is it that you would like?" And they stated their desire. And he indicated, "By the mercy of the Lord, it shall come to pass." So they later became Rishabhanu and Kirtida. And their ancestral home, Rishabhanu and Kirtida, we're going to tomorrow, to Varsana. And very dear to Rishabhanu and Kirtida were Nanda and Jasoda. They were both in the order of kings of Kshatriyas. Nanda was the king of Braja, but Rishabhanu had similar stature and status amongst the Brajvasis. And they were very, very, very intimate friends. Both couples greatly revered and respected by all. And everything was very wonderful, except the same circumstance in both of their families, they had no children. So together, Nanda and Rishabhanu decided, "Let us move closer to the river Jamuna." You noticed that to come here, we had to cross the river Jamuna. Closer to the river Jamuna and near the bank of the river Jamuna, because at one time the river Jamuna used to literally run alongside here. You can see where the river was and where the ghats, the extensions into the river where people could stand or bathe. "Let us move by the side of the river Jamuna. There may be greater auspiciousness for having a child in that circumstance." So there are different, in our scriptures, there are different descriptions. I'll present the primary one that's often recited. But one morning when Rishabhanu was going to take his morning bath, in the early morning before the sun rose, it was still dark, He was wading out into the river Jamuna, and he saw a glowing light off in the distance, in the river, in the Jamuna River. He never saw such a light before. And as he got closer, he saw it was a lotus. And the light was emanating from the top of the lotus. He was very curious. What is this? As he approached the lotus more closely, Lord Brahma appeared and informed him, "In your previous life, as Suchandra, you worshipped the personality of God to have as your daughter, the goddess of fortune. This is that daughter being gifted to you. She is for you to care for as your own daughter. Treat her in that way." And then Brahma disappeared. So Vrishabhanu approached the lotus flower and saw nestled in the whirl of the lotus was a golden, effulgent, exquisitely beautiful newborn girl. So with great care and affection, he lifted the small child, came back to the palace, to the house, and presented the child to Kirtida, explaining what had happened. And they were, who can imagine, so joyful. This is the plan of the Lord, that the goddess of fortune will become our own daughter. And we're to care for her with the greatest of attention and care. There was a problem. You know how life is, there's always a problem. The little girl didn't open her eyes and appeared she was blind. The little girl didn't respond to any sound. It appeared that she was deaf. And the little girl made no sound. It appeared that she was dumb or unable to speak. Blind, deaf, and dumb. Beautiful little girl. Gift of Lord Brahma and the devas for us to care for. So they just accepted this is the will of the Lord. Meanwhile, Narada Muni, in his transcendental way of doing things, he knew that Krishna had just appeared. And Krishna only appears once in every day of Brahma. And this was the day of Brahma, the part of the day of Brahma when Krishna would appear as a little small infant. So Narada was very enthusiastic to see his Lord, his worshipable master, in a little childlike form. So he went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, here in Gokul, Mahavan, and paid his respects to Krishna, like so many others who had come to offer their honor to Krishna. And he was thinking, if Krishna has appeared, surely Srimati Radharani must also have appeared, because Krishna wouldn't come without Radharani. I want to see that form of hers. Little tiny child. Totally helpless infant baby. Radha. So he made a plan how he would find out without disturbing the devotion of the residents of Braj. He wanted to find out where she was. So his plan was he would go to each of the homes of the residents of Raja, offering, "I am a sadhu, and I've come to offer blessings to your newborn children. Do you have any newborn children in your home? I'd like to give my blessings." So the parents were very happy, and they brought one child after the next. But none of them were Srimati Radharani. But Narada didn't get discouraged. He knew Radha must be here. It's just a question of finding her. So he finally came to Ravel and to the house of Rishabhanu and Kirtida. And when he appeared, they were so happy. Oh, Narada Muni, you've come to our home. What great fortune. How can we serve you? We've come to give our blessings. I've come to give my blessings to any children you may have. So Rishabhanu felt fortunate and unfortunate at the same time. He felt, well, I have one son. He's a little older though, but you can give your blessings to him. Radharani had an older brother. And so that older brother was presented and Narada Muni gave his blessings, but he was thinking, this must not be the place. Do you have any other children? Rishabhanu was thinking, I don't want to trouble Narada. The girl is blind and deaf and dumb and he may feel badly for us. I don't want to give him any discomfort. So Narada was ready to leave. Rishabhanu said, no, wait. We have one daughter. But I didn't want to trouble you because she's blind, deaf, and dumb. But maybe because you're such a sadhu, you can do something to help her. Oh. Please bring me to where your newborn daughter is. So when Narada Muni came into the room where Radha was lying in a small crib, a little baby bed, just being in her presence, he felt overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms. His body became motionless, stunned in ecstasy, just to be in the presence of Srimati Radharani. After he regained his composure, he said, I know some very special mantras, and maybe I can help your daughter. Please bring special ingredients, assemble them here, and I'll need some time. You'll have to allow me the privacy of chanting these sacred, secret mantras undisturbed. Yes, we'll bring all the ingredients. And he closed the door and locked it from the inside and immediately paid his obeisances before Srimati Radharani and began glorifying her in wonderful prayers, taking the articles and offering puja to little baby form of Radharani. And she smiled. She manifested her Kishore Rup for the pleasure of Narada Muni. To his heart's delight, he worshipped Radha. Then it was time to inform Vishubhanu and Kirtida that his mantras didn't work. But he said, maybe that will help. I have another suggestion. By creating an auspicious atmosphere, maybe your daughter will open her eyes and speak. Right here in Ravel, arrange for a nice festival in the honor of the appearance of your daughter. Invite all of the other nearby residents, and especially invite Nanda and Jasoda. Oh yes, Nanda and Jasoda, they must come. This is a wonderful idea, Narada. Thank you so much. So he gathered all the ingredients for a festival, invited everyone to come, and of course Nanda and Jasoda brought their little son. And during the course of all of the social interaction, their attention went to the adults' activities, and little Krishna toddled into the room where Srimati Radharani was lying. And as he looked over the edge of her crib, immediately she opened her eyes wide and a big smile, and she cried out very loudly. The first sound of Srimati Radharani was greeting Krishna. Because Radha has no interest in seeing anything, or speaking anything, or hearing anything, unless it's in relation with Krishna. That is her life and soul, is her loving relation with Krishna. So naturally so, she performed this leela as if she couldn't hear anything and couldn't see anything. And when Vrishabhanu and Kirtida heard the child crying, they came running and were so happy to see Narada Muni has given us this benediction that now, in this auspicious atmosphere, our daughter is well again. I have to keep track of time because we have a group that I have a sense is going to move slowly. Too slowly. So I'm going to speak a little bit less in each place so we can manage our schedule. I was going to describe what Narada Muni did next after he saw Srimati Radharani. I'll just mention briefly. He went to Govardhan, and there's Narada Kund, and we'll visit very near that place. Narada Kund is directly across from Kusum Sarovar at Govardhan Hill. It's down a long trail, and there's a Kund, Narada Kund, and Narada there composed Narada Bhakti Sutra, in honor of the ecstasy that he had experienced in seeing directly this little infant form of Srimati Radharani just after her birth, her appearance in this world. There's another description, because in each day of Brahma, Krishna appears in his original transcendental form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and Radha also appears, just once in every day of Brahma. So in another day of Brahma, on the occasion of a yajna that Vrishabhanu was going to perform, there is this procedure that the person who's going to perform the yajna prepares the ground, yajnasthan, where the yajna is going to be performed, and it's the earth is turned and made fresh. So he was plowing the earth, and as he was plowing through the earth, a little golden child appeared, just like how Sita appeared. Radha appeared. And Lord Brahma informed him, "This is the daughter that you have been performing long austerities for. She is yours to care for." There's a far more complicated description found in the writings of Rupa Goswami in a drama, Lalita Madhava. Very intricate, very, very, very complex, where Radha appears, Radha's kidnapped, Radha and Chandravali are kidnapped by Putana. When Radha appears as the daughter of the Himalayas, or Himavati, and she's then brought by Putana, flying through the air, there's the Brahmana, The birth ceremony is being performed by some priests. When the two girls are kidnapped, the priests are instructed to chant mantras to stop this wicked witch, Putana. And so Putana drops one of them in the river Jamuna, and the other is dropped where Chandrabhanu finds. So Chandravali is taken care of by Chandrabhanu, and Rishabhanu cares for Radha. So it's far more detailed and complicated narration. The personality of Godhead has leelas that are in principle very similar, but they're variegated also. Prabhupada has explained like this, that variety is the mother of enjoyment. When we're hungry, we don't just eat one thing every meal throughout our life. We eat a variety of foods because variety is the mother of enjoyment. And you need to enjoy the food that you're eating so that you can digest it properly. Otherwise, you can't get the strength that you require from the food that you eat. You won't digest. Similarly, Krishna, he's the best of enjoyers. And as in his efforts or his leelas of enjoyment, there's a certain theme in those leelas, but there's also variety. Anyway, these varieties, some of them are described very nicely by Sanatana Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the leelas of Krishna's pastimes of killing various demons, or even the leela of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. The way that Sanatana Goswami describes is this pastime of Krishna's leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura is enacted again and again. It's such a ecstatic pastime. The feelings of separation intensify the love of Krishna so much that Krishna goes to Mathura, and after staying in Mathura some time, he comes back to Vrindavan. And when he comes back to Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan are so much ecstasy, they forget that Krishna has gone. And then Akura comes again to bring Krishna to Mathura. And there's so much filled with separation that they forget it happened before. And Krishna leaves and goes to Mathura again. And they're feeling such intense separation from Krishna, they forgot that Krishna did this leela before. And then Krishna, after some time, comes back again. That's what Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Inconceivable. Variegated pastimes with a certain theme that repeats itself for the increasing the loving affection of all of Krishna's loving devotees. So, here at Ravel, this is the beginning place of our yatra. Let us pray to Srimati Radharani for her mercy, that all the impurities of our heart can be removed by her compassion, because removing impurities can sometimes be painful, but at the same time, having our impurities is more painful. And it's not what we want. We want a pure loving exchange with Krishna. And this will come by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Let us pray that Radha will help us in the course of our visit to Sri Vrindavan Dham, to experience that mercy that the Dham has, that Krishna has, and Radha and Krishna have for each of us, however tiny and insignificant we may be. Radharani steals the heart of Krishna, and because of that capture of Krishna's heart that Radha has, if she becomes even a drop of, extends a drop of kindness upon any one of us, that access to Krishna's mercy will be available somehow or another if Radha extends that kindness and compassion to us. If she can extend her kindness and compassion to a jackal, maybe she'll extend her kindness and compassion to us. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, he appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He appeared in the complexion of Srimati Radharani, and he appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And in his lila, he came to deliver the holy name. And when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this call of Hare, we're calling Srimati Radharani. We're calling Srimati Radharani in this, we could be Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe. Radhe Rama, Radhe Rama, Rama Rama, Radhe Radhe. But that's not what it is. It's Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama. And there's a significance. This, just as Hari is one who takes away, Hara is the feminine counterpart, and in the vocative becomes Hare. So, it's a call to Srimati Radharani, please remove all inauspiciousness from our hearts. But Mahaprabhu, and put in its place, the restore in its place, the natural love of God that is already there, but now dormant. Mahaprabhu came to give that Maha Mantra for achieving the highest goal of life, but he also came to give Krishna Prema. And it's actually Radha that's the giver of Krishna Prema. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha who gives Krishna Prema. So that's a high thought, Krishna Prema. But that's our goal. It's not just, you know, chilling out from the material involvement, so it's like the roar is less. The volume is turned down a little bit. That's not the goal. Not a state of neutrality. The goal is awakening our love for Krishna. Let that desire to come to that full stage of love of God awaken. Even if it's in the beginning stage, let it become more in the core of our consciousness as we spend our days together here at Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the schedule, we're going to have one day that's dedicated to improving our chanting here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And I'm hoping that the things that we do prior to that will prepare you all for what you're going to do when you go back to your residences is chant the holy name and remember what you experienced while here. So with our eagerness to receive mercy, particularly through Srimati Radharani's mercy, may we take that with us when we return to our places, the mercy of Radha and the purified state of heart to chant the holy name properly and awaken love for Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.